Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's check in with the editor of Ukrainian Freedom News, Joseph Lindsley, who has been doing a little traveling through Ukraine lately. What's happening at this time? Hello and good morning and good afternoon to you, Joseph.
Bob, good morning, good afternoon. Hello from Dnipro, where I have been for the past couple days. We've had a couple alarm alerts today, but calm and quiet here. Yesterday, it was a brilliant, breezy evening. I stepped outside of the hotel to get some air, and I saw a couple that I've become friends with here. They're from Severodonetsk, which is the city where I think most of the attention is being focused right now. That's where the most intense fighting is. And we took a walk, and Dnipro is it's very different from Lviv, but it's a beautiful city. There's a lot more modern buildings mixed in with some historic buildings. And it's a city of cool cafes, and there's music in the streets. And as we were taking a walk, there was a trumpet player playing that song Kalina, which became famous when Pink Floyd covered it, I guess back in February, which feels like 30 years ago. And I like this city. So I asked this couple, I said, you know, what do you think of Dnipro? And do you like it? And the woman said, no. She said, Severo, which is what the short name for Severodonetsk. She said, did you ever see it before the war? I said, no, I've only seen pictures of the destruction. And with, you know, with some tears in her eyes, she said, she spoke about how beautiful that city had become in the past 8 years since Ukraine's revolution of dignity, like how Ukrainians have used their freedom well to improve their life those past 8 years. She said it's a small city with beautiful parks and playgrounds. Children could walk anywhere. And she said, we were making so many improvements these past years, and now it's all gone. It's in ruins. And that is the city right now that is the epicenter, of the whole war. President Zelensky, just a few days ago, quite bravely, was just across the river on a secret mission to visit the troops. It's gone back and forth the past week as to who's winning there, but it's very unclear, and it sounds like, by all accounts, it's an extremely nasty fight in the streets of Severodonetsk.
We're all affected emotionally and also in other ways. I was reading about food prices that have risen here in the United States 17% since January. The price of cereals up by more than 21%. Ukraine and Russia account for a large portion of not only the world's agricultural supplies, but half of the world's supply of sunflower seed. And that's, of course, important for cooking oil. And that used to come from Ukraine and Russia before the start of the war. Is it the Ukraine Black Sea ports that are affected, triggering this global food crisis, Joseph?
Exactly, because that's where the majority of the export occurred, you know, through the barges on the Black Sea. Obviously, the entire coast of the Sea of Azov, which is an offshoot of the Black Sea, is controlled by Russia. And the city of Odessa is still in Ukrainian hands, but there's a Russian blockade. And I think it was either today or yesterday, the Russian foreign minister was accusing Ukraine of causing the food shortage problem. It's quite remarkable, their rhetoric. He said, Ukraine needs to demine the Black Sea coast. And the Ukrainians said, if we take away the mines, you're going to try to land on the shores of Odessa. So that's the reason why there is a blockade, because indeed the Ukrainians are trying to prevent the Russians from, I guess their fear is that even if there was some kind of sea corridor open for food, the Russians would simply take advantage of that. And there's no reason to trust, the Ukrainians would say there's no reason to trust any humanitarian or food corridors, because you can't trust anything that the Kremlin says. And very interestingly, Lavrov, he said, while criticizing Ukraine for the food problem, he says he warned the West. He said, you need to realize that indulging in Kyiv's military mood will not lead to anything good. It's really quite extraordinary, absurd rhetoric. The military mood is simply because this country is fighting for its very existence. I think the Russians think that they can they still think they can fool the world on this, and obviously that's not working.
Let's hope not. Joseph, I'd like to share with you some email and text messages we got in the last couple of days. Thank you so much for bringing us Joseph Lindsley every day. It's so important. Prayers for him and all the people in Ukraine. I wish you could give Joseph Lindsley more time. He's so informative. And unfortunately, Ukraine is slipping further and further back on the nightly news. And one more. It's good to hear Joseph. His call on Tuesday ended with an uneasy feeling. Yeah, that was when you were talking about the mines you had to navigate past. Remember?
The day we were shot at.
Yeah, but it's the listeners, they care, and they're very interested in your insights, Joseph.
Well, I'm very grateful for your audience, Bob, and for the time you take to so we can discuss the horrible reality here, and that I can do my best to share the stories of the people of Ukraine.
Yeah, and it is moving to sort of page two and page three, isn't it?
I mean, you would know better. I mean, it's sort of here. I don't, quite get the sense, but we have seen. I mean, that obviously that has been the concern for a while, and I do think that is part of the Kremlin's strategy, is to wear down the world to get, they want prices to go up in other places, and then they want to. And maybe I was incorrect there when I said that the world doesn't believe the Kremlin's rhetoric. I think, if I think that's been the mood. I feel that deeply here in Dnipro these past couple of days. With everyone with whom I speak, there's a tiredness here because everyone is getting worn down, and that's exactly, I think, the objective of the Kremlin at this point in the war, is to make everyone tired until they get their way.
And again,
and that's if that happens, Ukraine loses.
Where you are there, Dnipro, give us a quick geography lesson in relation to Lviv, where you are usually stationed, and Kyiv and other cities we know. Where is Dnipro?
Dnipro is about 600 miles east of Lviv. It's in southeastern Ukraine. It's the fourth largest city in the country. It's on the Dnipro River, the Dnipro River cuts through Kyiv further to the north. In the north of the country, and then it comes down south to the Black Sea, and we are still a couple hundred miles from the Black Sea. Dnipro is the very north part of the southern region that was the heartland of the Ukrainian Cossacks, which is like the most, the freedom people, for centuries. This is the wild people of the plains, and this city actually was a closed city in Soviet times because it was where they developed a lot of missiles and space programs. So the access to the city was restricted. Maybe several years ago, in the city here, they produced rockets for SpaceX, and there was hope that and there is still hope here that after victory, that maybe Elon Musk will come and invest here. But this is a defense infrastructure city, and right now there's a big presence of Red Cross and United Nations. The hospital in this city, which I visited last week, is probably the most intense place to deal with wounded soldiers from all over the Eastern Front.
So you're actually closer to where the missiles are falling, aren't you?
Yeah, at this moment, yes, closer than Lviv. Dnipro was hit. It's been pretty calm for the past few weeks, but there have been several military targets around the city that were hit a few weeks ago. In the first month of the war, they had just completed a beautiful new airport that's totally destroyed. But further south of here, about 2 hours drive, is the city of Zaporizhia, where I was also last week. And that city is much more of a current target. I think we're going to see what happens with Severodonetsk. And then, God forbid, if the Russians win that city, it seems that Zaporizhia would be the next target, which is much closer to Dnipro.
Well, Joseph, I'll give you some good news here, and I hope to announce this tomorrow or Monday, but we'll be giving away Ukrainian flags that people can put on their desks. We'll let our listeners get on the website here and register to win those, and maybe you can help us give them away to our listeners, and we'll show our support for the people of Ukraine.
Bob, that's great, and it makes me smile because those gestures really do matter. And I think the more we can have, and people are welcome to follow us at UkrainianFreedomNews.com, but the more people follow these stories and they hear the stories of valor and then the stories of suffering here, then that's the only chance I think Ukraine has to keep the politicians interested around the world to get the weapons that they need to win. So those flags, I think, will do a lot of good for this effort.
Be safe, Joseph. We'll talk tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.